We're big on rights in this country. The founding document, the Declaration of Independence, speaks of unalienable rights, namely life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In our time, we speak beyond individual rights. We get into discussions, many and heated, about the rights of corporations, for example. And conversely, the rights of communities, particularly when opposing the rights of corporations. Community rights groups are active in Oregon. Community Rights Lane County proposes a ballot measure, and county commissioners in Lane County have instructed staff to look for ways to keep such a measure off the ballot. Ann Nealand is a lawyer with Community Rights Lane County and our guest once again on the Jefferson Exchange. Ann, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
So let's come back to the basics of what you seek. What are community rights as compared with individual rights?
So the gist of community rights is about recognizing a local right to self-government, which is really at the core of what you were referencing at the introduction pertaining to the Declaration of Independence and our inalienable rights as the sovereign authority of this country. And so that means that we seek to recognize our right to govern ourselves, to pass local laws to protect our health, safety, and welfare, and at the same time give us the authority to limit the corporation's rights to kick out our laws that we pass and prevent the state from blocking local communities from engaging in our democratic rights to write and pass laws.
So what would be an example of a place where a community right has been kicked out, as you put it?
So, for a very good example of it, although it was not an initiative from the community rights movement per se, but just in Josephine County, where the local voters enacted a ban on GMO agriculture by 70% of the voting population, and that community was then sued by the big ag interests funded by Monsanto and other multinational corporations, flexing their muscle of their rights. And they have instituted a state preemptive law, which they use to say, sorry, local community, you don't get to decide for yourselves what is important in your community, and you don't get to keep our harmful GMO agriculture out. And unfortunately, that argument prevailed, and the local community, despite passing their law by 70%, lost that law, and it was lost at the behest of corporations exercising their authority in our courts and in our judicial system.
So where do you see corporations and other entities exercising rights that end up short-circuiting, as you see it, community rights? Because that was a movement of the Oregon State Legislature that essentially preempted the Josephine County GMO ordinance.
Correct. And so most of those state preemptive laws are at the behest of corporate interests, and that was no different for that GMO law. That was a law actually written by ALEC, which is the American Legislative Exchange Council, for those who are familiar with the very conservative organization, and funded with a flurry of corporate campaign donations. So there's no question where that preemptive law came from. And that is how corporations operate, to protect their interests. And they pretty much own our legislature, both at the state and federal level, and they're very successful at keeping the people from exercising their power to interfere with their corporate activities, despite the harms that we struggle with at the local community. And so these laws, I mean, this is across the country, right? This is not just Oregon. Other good examples are in the fracking industry, in the water extraction industry, in the mining industries, in the forestry industries. All of these industries have successfully created preemptive laws and exercised corporate constitutional rights to keep local communities from being able to say, we don't want your industries here. We don't want our communities contaminated and polluted and resources extracted for profit at the expense of people and our environment.
In theory, Anne, the people possess these rights already. They certainly have regulatory oversight over a lot of industries. I mean, there are supposed to be some hard and fast rules, like you don't dump stuff in the river, you don't put too much stuff in the air. So what happened to that process?
Well, that's also a very interesting process, and this really gets to the heart of what Community Rights Lane County and the community rights movement is about. It's about teaching us about what these systems really do and who they really serve. And so the regulatory system, as probably doesn't surprise many, has been co-opted also by industry. And so most of the regulatory laws are actually written by and for corporations. They allow certain amounts of regulation because that's what puts people asleep, essentially, as they say, oh, well, we are regulating the industries. But really, those regulations are nominal and really don't interfere in any significant way with corporate profits and corporate operations, and really provide very little meaningful protection, and certainly very little recourse for any community that's actually harmed.
Are you describing the process that some people refer to as regulatory capture, where the people from the industry come into government and end up writing the rules?
Yeah, very much. And actually, if we look back in our history, the first regulatory agency was the Interstate Commerce Commission that was created at the behest of the railroads. The railroads at that time were facing enormous pushback from the people because of the dangers of the railroad operations and other concerns about monopoly and pricing. And so the railroads actually said, oh, you need to regulate us because these people are thinking we're just running roughshod all over the communities. And so that was actually a request, and the U.S. Attorney General at the time said, no problem, we can set up regulations that will have, in his words, were nominal effect on the industry and keep the, I don't think he was the one who called them rabble, but it was something similarly diminutive, keep the people from interfering with the industry's interests.
We're talking about community rights here on the Jefferson Exchange. Ann Nealand is a lawyer with the group Community Rights Lane County. We're talking in a really general, conceptual sense what community rights are and in specific ways how they might be enacted. And then also the little dust-up in Lane County where the commissioners are trying to preempt potentially a community rights measure on the ballot or heading for the ballot. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Wolfgang in Sunny Valley, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning. It's a huge subject. It's as historical as you describe it. And we have here an interesting variation of it. We being the people in Sunny Valley, have been going through a regulatory circus, you know, which more and more, piece by piece, get their ducks in a row, and they can, and then the commissioners can say, yes, it's all fine. Now, and so in the process of this being somebody who wants to put in a 200-acre gravel pit in the middle of rural residential zoning, and the commissioner said yes, and then a referendum was qualified, put on the ballot, not quite, and then the corporate owner filed a lawsuit against this measure 1768 for a preliminary injunction. It was in March. It was taken off the ballot, and now we're back in court, basically, because he wants a permanent injunction. He wants to forever ban any referendum, any public electors vote on any land use decision. And I'm not going to go into details what kind of zigzag legalese they're trying to do.
All right. So the gravel pit was proposed. The local residents said they didn't want it. They actually got a referendum on the ballot, and then the referendum was never voted upon because it was deemed that land use is not an appropriate thing to put on a ballot measure.
That's what they say. Mm-hmm. You know, the commissioners approved it. It became an ordinance, which is a law, and you can vote on a law. And the developer says, no, you can't. Mm-hmm. So we are now in that phase. So it was taken off the ballot. It will be going on the ballot in November unless the judge decides that no ever, forever land use decision can be voted on. But it's on the land use decision. It's the dispute between is it the land use decision or is it the law based on the land use decision. It's legalese stuff.
Okay, very interesting case.
Preemptive is very interesting.
All right, thanks for that, Wolfgang. Appreciate it. Anne, any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think this is a perfect example of how the rights that we have chosen in this country to honor are the rights of commerce, the rights of property, and the rights of corporations. And so the rights that we have chosen to turn our backs on are the rights of the communities and the people who live in those communities, and we've stripped the communities from the ability to say no to the harms that are coming into their community. So this is a perfect example of a community that's come together and said, we do not want this harm in our community for whatever reasons. It can be the noise, the pollution, the extraction, the whatever. They say no. They cannot say no. And that's because our system of laws is structured to tell them that they do not have that authority. Instead, the corporation has the authority to say, our property rights are bigger than your rights to clean water, your rights to clean air, your rights to a livable environment, your rights to a sustainable environment. And so this property owner can march into courts and the courts, and if the community were to sit on his property in a form of civil disobedience, the police force, all of these government bodies would come to the aid of the corporation to say, these people are violating the corporate rights. And this is the system we live in. And I think what's so important about what's happening in Sunny Valley and anywhere that a community stands up to a corporate harm, which is precisely what's happening now in Lane County with our initiatives, is as soon as the people take a meaningful step to stand up for their rights, the corporations just roll out their rights and squash the people's will. And people need to wake up to this and realize that we are, in fact, powerful, but we have to organize and we have to write and pass the laws that recognize our right to control our futures. And this takes organization, it takes resources, and it takes coordination. And that's the movement we seek to build.
Community rights, again, the discussion point here on the Jefferson Exchange with Ann Nealon, who's a lawyer for Community Rights Lane County. You can join this discussion by phone at 800-838-3760 or by email at jx@jeffnet.org. So since you just referenced it, let's talk about what's happening in Lane County, because you are trying for a ballot measure in Lane County, correct?
We actually have three ballot measures. All of which are in the sights of the timber industry and the big ag industry. We have a right to ban GMO agriculture. We have a ban on aerial spray of herbicides in the county. And the third initiative would recognize our right to local community self-government, which would essentially authorize our local lawmaking in a fashion that would elevate our local rights over corporate rights. And this is the pushback. The pushback actually originated, it appears, with the timber industry. The proposed ordinance that the county commission has been reviewing was proposed by a man named Dennis Morgan.
Who we have invited to be on the show. I want to be clear about that. We have invited Dennis Morgan multiple times, and he has not taken advantage of our offer yet.
And so he is the treasurer of a PAC that gets tens of thousands of dollars from the timber industry and has actually also given donations to two of our county commissioners, Commissioner Bozovich and Commissioner Stewart. And so they have been shepherding this proposal to add a brand new rule pre-election and trying to get our three initiatives re-reviewed, even though they've already been approved for circulation. And actually the very same, it gets a little complicated, but the very same issue they were trying to create the new rule around had just been decided in the Lane County Circuit Court. And so it got very contentious, and the community has really been galvanized by this effort and this assault on the local initiative powers and have really pushed back. And while this initial effort to pass this law has faltered a little bit, they now have a new effort that's been launched just in the last few days by one of the attorneys who had supported Mr. Morgan's proposal, Stan Long, and he's now had his law firm send a letter to the commission saying that they are prepared to sue the county if the county doesn't take proactive steps based on yet another new legal theory to pull the three initiatives from the ballot, from circulation. So the assault against the initiatives is very clear, and the motivation behind it is quite clear.
So the vote was 4-1 with the Lane County Commissioners, Pete Sorensen being the one vote against, to essentially do what? To try to keep these measures off the ballot before they even got there?
So in fairness, there was no vote yet taken. There was this proposal from Mr.
Morgan. To instruct
Morgan,
staff, I understand, yeah.
And there was the sort of three head nods to move the request to work on the ordinance to the county council. And so that has been with the county council where they've been supposedly rewriting them. This is coming back to the commission on September 13th, and we're really working to get the community to turn out to that meeting to let the commission know that people still care, are still concerned, and are not going to sleep as long as they have our initiative and referendum powers in their sights. And so it's still very much in the hopper, as is this now second threat from Stan Morgan, from Stan Long, to sue the county proactively to try to keep these initiatives off the ballot.
Forgive me if I misstate this, but it seems like one of the arguments for The opposite of what you're seeking is that the ballot measures, if they pass, could potentially be held up by legal challenges anyway and would just cost the county money. What do you make of that, if I have the doctrine even close to correct?
Well, you're correct in that one of their excuses for what they're doing is that they think if these laws that they believe are either unconstitutional or not matters of county concern are allowed to go ahead, there's a waste of resources. But what this ignores is the very purpose of the initiative and referendum authority that is protected by the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, and that is that we, the people, have the right to write, circulate, discuss, and vote on laws of almost any character. And the constitutionality and the whether it relates to matters of county concern are not questions you can look at pre-election. You can only review those after the law has been passed. And the reason for that is, as I said, the very heart of the initiative system is to give the people the opportunity to engage in public discourse, to engage in the practice of writing and passing laws to bring about social change. And that is the heart of it. And, of course, that is what scares industry. So they're working to stop it.
Here's a call from Steve in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Ann Neeland from Community Rights, Lane County.
Howdy. One thing I have not heard mentioned yet is recall. Throw the bastards out.
That seems like an option.
It seems that that is a right that we can use to fight this kind of opposition.
All right. Let's get a thought. Thanks for that, Steve. Ann?
That is absolutely, I think, the appropriate use of the recall. I think what the folks who have recall on their mind have been waiting for is to see what the action the commissioners actually take, because there hasn't been a vote on this yet. There, I think, is a, I'm aware at least of a group of citizens who is waiting to see what the action is and are very much considering that exact action, believing, as I think you do, Steve, that if our commissioners are not serving us as they were elected to do, then they need to lose their jobs.
To the we're talking about community rights here on Lane County with on the Jefferson Exchange with Ann Neeland of Community Rights, Lane County. You can join our discussion on the Jefferson Exchange in the minutes we have left, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So help me understand where things, you mentioned three potential ballot measures, GMO ban, aerial spray ban, and a local community rights sort of umbrella ordinance. Are any of these officially on the ballot for this year or for some point in the future?
None of them are currently on the ballot. All of them are in circulation. Each one of them needs approximately 15,000 signatures. And so we're interested in getting them on the ballot for next May. We're always looking for people to help us collect signatures, and we expect to be able to do that by May of next year is the plan.
As a lawyer yourself, Ann, I mean, what do you make of this idea of prior restraint where you've got a political body at least considering the possibility of trying to stop something from getting to the ballot in the first place when it does come in as a citizen initiative?
I think it's outrageous. I think when we stop and think about it, maybe more in the abstract, we can appreciate what that really is. It's really government overreach, which is the very purpose of the initiative was to give people the authority to write and pass laws independent of their government. It was to give them the authority to address issues that the government refused to address. It is intended to give them the authority to reform their government. So when you give the government the right to then have a prior act of prior restraint on the initiative power, you've essentially gutted it. You know, it doesn't make any sense. And I think that's what really has struck a chord with Lane County community, and I imagine other communities where this happens, to say that that's not right to have the government have a say-so in terms of what the people can move forward, discuss in their community, and take a vote on.
When you get specific about things like we want to ban GMO crops or we want to ban aerial spraying of pesticides, those are things that people can really wrap their minds around. When you get more general, though, to community rights, I mean, is it harder to make the case for what it is you're trying to do?
I think it can get harder because it's quite complicated, and a lot of the understanding of how our system is rigged to benefit corporations over the people has a long history, and I think it can be hard for people to in our busy lives take the time to understand that, but I think the visceral response is still the right one, and is that is that we are the sovereign authority of this country. That notion has been lost now in decades and really centuries of corporate control, and so it's really ours to get together and cooperate with each other and take back.
Here's a call from Mike in Arcata. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Ann Neeland.
Hi. Hey, quick question. Just wondering if you have a way for your group and maybe the rest of us, if you could give us a website or something to go to join the effort to deny personhood from corporations. I know that's not the end all of everything because there's an awful lot of extremely wealthy individuals, but corporations should not be considered persons. So I'll take my answer off the air. Thank
all
you.
Right. Thanks for that, Mike. Appreciate it. Any place you can send Mike in search of doctrine or supporters or petitions?
Yeah, thank you, Mike. It's a great question. So the work here in Lane County is at www.communityrightslanecounty.org, and there are links on there to other organizations. This movement is building statewide, and there is a community rights network, and you can find that group at OregonCommunityRightsNetwork.org.
OregonCommunityRightsNetwork.org. It seems like this would probably pull in people from left and right politically because the idea of keeping some level of control at the local level is appealing to both ends.
Yep, I think you're accurate there. This is a nonpartisan issue. It really does appeal across the political spectrum. Because I think we're all recognizing, as the political dialogue, I think, is becoming increasingly on point, that we are all adversely affected by corporate power. It reaches us socially, economically, racially, environmentally. We're all suffering for corporate control, and I think we'll come together across the political spectrum to put an end to that. Hopefully sooner than later.
Right. Petition circulating in Lane County potentially for next May. You said the commissioner's meeting is September 13th to deal with this potentially?
Yes, at 9 o'clock.
All right. Ann Neeland is a lawyer for Community Rights Lane County. Thanks for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You bet.